37th Hungerthon. Inflation causes very high food prices. We all know this, but especially for people of limited means, or at this moment, people in New York City, all of New York City, challenged by electricity prices, by the prices of transportation, and also feeding their families with adequate food. So this 37th Hungerthon features ways to raise money, including a novel approach taken by my flagship in New York, WOR, part of the iHeart complex. Odyssey is also participating, and other major voices, Sirius Radio. A rare auction package available. And within these next hours, because it ends on Thursday afternoon, the rare auction package is a meet and greet virtually with me. You can ask me anything, and we can discuss what it is that I do each day, that I gather together voices from around the world to comment on the turmoil in Eurasia and the challenges here in the Americas. I mentioned that the website is charitybuzz.com/WOR, charitybuzz.com/WOR. The Hungerthon site you can go to and learn all about the 37th Hungerthon. My guest is Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News and of The City, a journalist, senior editor. He is also informed about Hungerthon. Harry, what can you tell us? Good evening to you.
Good evening, gentlemen. So, Hungerthon is part of the organization Why Hunger, which started nearly 40 years ago, and one of its co-founders was the great singer-songwriter, folk musician, Harry Chapin. We just looked at a world where there's great wealth and many people are hungry, and he said, I don't know what all the answers are, but I know I need to do something. So we started this organization. They do wonderful work. I happen to know a lot about it because Harry's brother, Jim, who had hearing issues and was the one non-musician in the family, was a journalist and a very dear friend of my father, Fred Siegel. So I used to soak up Jim Chapin's wisdom and listen to Harry Chapin's music all the time. It's a really wonderful organization that just does something very simple and decent and tries to get food to people in need. Doesn't really have overhead or spend on anything else. It's an organization I actually give to every year. I will not compete with your listeners for the private session with you, John, but I really encourage people, you know, if they can, to give. This is a worthy cause and a wonderful thing, organization that just puts the money into getting food to hungry people.
When you say Harry Chapin's name, who knows why, but my brain has, it was raining hard in San Francisco. I needed one more fare to make my knife. Remember that?
The end of that song, Harry, keep the change.
Harry Siegel also writes for the New York Daily News on, again, the challenges for people in New York. And this time, it's those people who are struggling with mental health issues. And we go to an interview that Harry held on his FAQ NYC podcast recently. He writes it up in his column. Brian Stetton, he is Mayor Adams' senior advisor on severe mental illness and how to have a new approach that doesn't abandon people because the civil authorities are reluctant or compromised by the rules. And the quote from Brian Stetton is, look, if we're going to just leave people on the street who are in need of medical care because we don't have the beds and we don't have the services, then we should at least be honest enough to say that's the reason we're abandoning them. That's clear, tough talk, Harry. What's happened at City Hall? What is the new approach, if it is a new approach, about these people who are suffering? Good evening, Kiwi.
Good evening, John. So Eric Adams gave a big hour-long presentation saying we're changing what the city is doing when it comes to severely mentally ill people. He offered the example of a guy with no shoes on, no shirt, shadow boxing in a train station. He says we're going to be taking those people into psychiatric hospitals to get help, and we're going to do what's compassionate and bring them in whether they want that help or not. Which the police have long been authorized to do as a matter of state law. So on the one hand, he's presenting this as a big new approach, and he's stressing that this won't just be the police, but that there'll be social workers and other city workers involved. And when the police are there for people who do not want to accept help, and many people with schizophrenia and or who are bipolar don't recognize that they have this condition. And thus, don't want to accept any help. And he's saying, we're going to bring these people in so that they can be held for up to 72 hours in a hospital and evaluated by a psychiatrist, in effect. That's not new. Police have long been doing this. He wants to do this in a more, he says, systematic and serious way. And he says, we can't wait to have all the solutions on the other end in terms of supportive housing options for the mentally ill to do that, and that we also need hospitals to be coordinated better with each other and social and other agencies and city agencies, public and private hospitals, so that if somebody comes in who has known issues, this gets recognized to make sure that people are getting screened for Kendra's Law, which was named after a young journalist who was shoved in front of an incoming train in New York City, in Chelsea, and creates AOTs, which is an acronym, assisted outpatient treatment, in effect, where there's a court order requiring you to take medication. So the people who, when they're not medicated, can't recognize their own illness, are able to get support. He's asking for a number of changes to state law that he doesn't control, but he's saying that the police will be doing this right now. So this is a very complicated mix of an assertive new approach to making sure that mentally ill people are being assessed and ideally pushed into treatment and help. If that is happening in a more systematic way, that would be new. At the same time, police officers taking, not charging, but putting on mentally ill people, sometimes people having drug issues, by the way, there the treatment paths and what the law allows is different, but forcibly putting them into custody and dropping them off at hospitals to then be assessed there in a haphazard way, at least, is not whatsoever new. It's something the city's been struggling with for forever, or since the start of modern homelessness, the sort of mentally ill people we're seeing on the street, which really dates back to about the Koch years, and is plainly a result of deinstitutionalization, where there are not places where people can go or are compelled to go to get help, and that there's just an absence of beds in the meantime for people who need that help.
What we have then, what is new, is the relevant section of state law say they may take into custody any person who appears to be mentally ill. So it's a judgment call in the place of the authorities. Is that correct, Harry?
So that's always been a judgment call. What the city and the state are trying to expand, with the city now publicly trumpeting a memo of the state mental health agency pretty quietly released in February, is what makes someone who's severely mentally ill dangerous to themselves or others. And they're arguing, in brief, that anybody who plainly can't take care of themselves, who, say, has open sores, isn't wearing shoes, and is talking to themselves and is out on the streets, that they can take that person in. This is a little complicated, but this has been fought out in state law and at the margins and in the courts over decades, going back to Billy Boggs in the 1980s. And Adams is now taking a fairly assertive approach in terms of who the police have authority to bring in, that is in line with some court interpretations, but is sure to be challenged legally in the next year.
The website for Hungerthon, for a virtual meet and greet with me, is charitybuzz.com/WOR. charitybuzz.com/WOR. Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News, of the City, a journal, senior editor. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.